Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Thanks to our new sponsor, Factor. Factor delivers delicious, fresh, never frozen meals that are ready to heat and eat in 2 minutes. Head to go.factor75.com/TMS60 and use the code TMS60 to get 60% off your first box. Coming up on TMS,
you can't throw rice!
Pan Solo.
New shave, who dis?
Drive-through ASMR.
What if he doesn't survive? He's no good to me. Bread.
Can I poo here or do I have to buy something?
Streamer flan bag.
Three giant yanks and it finally came out.
Let them eat Taco Bell.
Fellow Utah white folk.
Don't mind the guy in the ski mask. We're trying something new.
I don't like to pour cream.
Landfills have more and better ingredients.
Snap into a Marvel game with Steven and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
These teenagers belong to a gang, the Young Skulls. In this film, we will follow the gang through an ordinary day and see what part aggression plays in the lives of its members.
That's awesome.
The Morning Stream. You're soaking in it.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to TMS. It's Monday, October 17th, 2022. I'm Scott. He's Brian. Good morning.
Good morning. You know, I give you so much crap about, you know, you're saying, oh my God, we're already so far into October. I kind of feel like I need to take a step back and say, yeah, that's kind of how I'm feeling. Like,
yeah, it went quick,
we're
man.
We're more than halfway through the damn month.
I know. It's insane. I wasn't supposed to. The good news is I was supposed to get my new phone on the 27th. It's now going to get here today.
Oh, which, God, how did you ordered after I did? Oh, you did. You went right through Apple.
I did. I go through Apple instead of AT&T. Yeah. And the thing is, if it gets here, I mean, I almost always get stuff from them earlier than they say they're going to. I think it's a trick they do to make you happy.
It's an over, under promise, over deliver or something like that.
Yeah, I think that's probably right. And I'm happy to do that, except they picked a day where I have to go to the dentist. I got other errands I got to run. I'm going to be kind of in and out. And so it's the one day where I'm not like here solid. I don't know when this thing's going to arrive. And I get paranoid. It's like, porch pirates. Bruh.
Yeah, you know? Right.
Carter's at
it's always the things that we worry about the most. Is like, oh, no, somebody needs to be here.
Yeah, exactly. Carter's at work today downtown. So it's just Kim and I, but her and I both have the same dental appointment and the other two errands. So we're just not going to be here. So I don't know. It's not supposed to be here before 7. It'll probably get here this afternoon. It'll be fine.
Yeah, it'll be fine. You know, it's Halloween season. Can't you just set up a scarecrow on the front porch with a Under Armour hat and a pair of sunglasses?
This is a great idea. Also, it's wise of you to assume I have an extra Under Armour hat because I do. I do. I keep like 10 of those around because they're the only hats that fit me.
They fit. Yeah.
Yeah. Got one right over here. If I need it in a pinch, like just grab an Under Armour hat. Well, I mean, whatever. Yeah. I don't even have any loyalty to that company other than they make the only hats that properly fit my head.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Congratulations to Under Armour. It's actually your outer armor that I'm buying, not the under.
Anyway. Yeah, who cares about the under? Yeah. I'm just checking to see where's my order listing here on.
Oh, yeah. Do you have an
AT&T?
Update?
AT&T. I'm just going to see if they make it so hard to see my previous purchase. There we go. Orders. Thank you.
You're going to make you go in to get it? Do you get it delivered?
How does it work? It's getting delivered.
Oh, okay.
Because then I have to throw my existing one
right
in the box.
Now, since the new ones don't have the same What are those called? The little chips?
SIM cards.
SIM cards, right? Didn't they show that off at the thing? So it's a different process this time, I guess, when we transfer it.
Exactly, yes. Let's see. Shipment info. Expected to ship Monday, October 24th, so a week from today.
Okay.
Yeah. Which still might show up, you know. Again, they sometimes do it early. I think it's probably going to ship a week from today, I'm guessing, but we'll see.
Who knows? Maybe AT&T wants to also under-promise, over-deliver. You don't know.
Actually, they did say expected to ship October 31st a few days ago, so it has gotten bumped up about a week.
Nice. What color did you get? I forgot to ask you.
Deep purple, like so the Donnie and Marie song.
I did as well. We're both going purple. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's cool. I saw one in the store, and it is a subtle but beautiful purple.
Makes me feel I'm gonna feel like Prince with that in my pocket, you know? Walk around looking all
purple phone.
I will not be like Nikki in the hotel lobby doing a certain thing with a magazine. All right, that won't be me.
Right, no, that would be with your AT&T user agreement.
Exactly.
Instead of with a magazine.
Exactly. That is correct. All right, so you went to see that Rocky Horror Picture Show business.
I did.
How did it land? How'd things go?
It's been a while, Scott, since I've seen the Rocky Horror Picture Show in the setting in which it is ideal to see that movie, which is with a lot of things to distract you from what a horrible movie it is. Sorry, this lamp is about to fall apart.
Oh no.
We can talk about that someday, the stupid lamp where the plastic ones just keep falling off. So they have the what's called the shadow cast, right? Where they've got the screen with the movie going on, and then a few feet in front of it on the stage, they've got actors performing exactly what's going on screen in costume and sometimes usually over the top performances.
Sure.
This is a local company, Denver's Missing Ingredient, and they do this. Denver is one of the four cities in the country that has never stopped having a regular midnight showing of the Rocky Horror Picture Show since 1975. And these guys are now the current holders of that. They currently put it on at the Esquire the last Saturday night of every month. The cast, I guess, predominantly women, because the only two male performers were Brad, asshole, and because you have to say that every time you say his name, and Riff Raff. Oh, and the narrator. So those are the only three. So Dr. Frankenfurter, the Tim Curry character, was played by a woman. Eddie, the Meatloaf character, was played by a woman. Wheelchair, Great Scott, was played by a woman.
I'm blank, but I know who you mean.
Yeah. Well, his name is Scott. It's not Christopher Lloyd or anything.
No, not Christopher Lloyd. What's his name?
Scott.
Is it just Scott?
Dr. Scott. Yeah, it's Dr. Scott or Professor Scott.
That shows how long it's been for me. It's been since high school since I went to this thing. So it's been a long time.
Yeah, it's been since college for me. Yeah. And oh man, the first thing that that you walk in, and I thought they didn't do this anymore, but no, the first thing, all right, who's seen Rocky Horror with a shadow cast before? And then people, you know, raise their hand, and then they say, okay, the rest of you over here, and they drew little V's on everybody's forehead. And Tina's like, Tina knew beforehand that there was going to be stuff going on. She's never seen Rocky Horror before. She's like, I'm not going if they're going to do some BS to embarrass me. I'm like, no problem. My friends protected me from that when they took me in college. So, I'll do the same for you. So, you know, we're like, oh yeah, no, we've seen the shadow cast before. And thank goodness. I mean, even if they ask questions, I was ready with like, oh, well, once at the Esquire with her and then once at the Fox Theater in Boulder. And
sure. Technically true.
True for me, not true for Tina. Tina's never seen it.
True.
She's seen the film, but she's never seen it live like this. They've done a whole, like, the thing has changed. It's, I remember seeing it, in the 90s where there was frequent stuff being yelled at the screen to respond to, or to set up things that were being said. Like, you know, somebody would go, is it true you had sex with a cat? And then the character would go, yes, welcome in. And so they do that, but it's like, you know, asking questions that get answered by the characters on screen. But man, the whole audience, and it was probably an audience of about 250, 300 people. There were pockets from people who I think saw it in the 90s and in the 80s and maybe in the 70s, who are all yelling different things at different times or even sometimes at the same time. And it was freaking mayhem. Wow. I've never seen it to where it was like more disorganized mayhem. We had toilet paper rolls to throw when you know, Scott brand toilet paper was mentioned or Great Scott was mentioned.
Sure.
No toast. Our goodie bag had a maraca for the celebration, a paper hat, a glow stick, because no open flames for the, there's a light at Frankenstein's place. What else? A newspaper for that. No squirt guns, no toast, no hot dogs.
I forgot Barry Bostwick was in that.
Yeah, Barry Bostwick, who apparently goes around now and actually shows up for people's midnight showings of Rocky Horror.
Totally wild. Yeah, forget who was in that thing. Yeah.
No rice. Like, man, boy, did they come down hard. Like, the guy went through like 7 rules, and every odd numbered rule was no effing rice because it's a mess to have to clean up.
Oh, just to clean up. Okay. I thought maybe there's some danger in it or allergy I didn't know about or something. But yeah, it gets everywhere, right? You're never going to clean it up.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
So anyway, still was a really, really good time. They've added a bunch of stuff, musical interludes and things like that, that during boring exposition parts of the movie, they do like a weird Who Let the Dogs Out sing along or something. It's kind of strange, but anyway, it was a good time.
But a good time, yeah. You'd recommend it?
I'd recommend it once. If you've never seen Rocky Horror with a, you know, in a theater where they're doing the shadow cast, it's worth doing once. And there are probably people in our audience who are regulars who like go and do it, or maybe even who do the shadow cast, who get up and do the, like, stand up and do the casting. Now we're trying to figure out, like, all right, in the tadpool, who would you say are people who probably at one point or another did the onstage shadow cast thing of Rocky Horror? And we're thinking people like September. Oh yeah. Oh, look at it. I used to be cast. Was so fun. Tina and I totally picked you, September. We thought for sure you would have done it. Maybe Amy Frost, you know, people who kind of have a little bit of a theatrical bent to them.
Sure. Sure, sure. That's so cool.
Anyway, it was fun. And so I'd recommend seeing it once, and maybe that'll be enough for you just to experience it.
Do you think anybody just watches that movie to watch it and doesn't see it at one of these events, like at this stage?
Yeah, I'm sure a lot of people do, and they probably watch it and say, I don't know why this thing is a cult classic. Why is this thing, you know, as popular as it is when it's just so horrible?
Yeah, like, it's such an odd cultural thing to take that thing from 1975 and say, this will now be a thing that happens all the time, everywhere, all year.
Right. Exactly.
That's just
every
crazy.
Week at midnight. Yeah, it is a bizarre, because it's neither scary nor terribly funny.
It's just
got, what,
weird.
2 Oscar winners in it? I know Susan Sarandon.
But at the time they were just, you know, people.
Oh, they were nobody at the time.
Yeah, nobody knew who they were. But I guess your Oscar winners are probably Sarandon and...
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Bostwick wouldn't have. Did Meatloaf ever win a...
I don't think so. Maybe for music, but maybe not for acting, I'm sure.
Yeah, maybe just one Oscar winner.
And Tim Curry probably never did, I don't think.
No.
Yeah, he should have for that big...
nominated for his role in Home Alone 2, Lost in New York.
I always forget he's in that. For some reason, that movie's just... John Cleese is the guy. I don't know why I don't think of anyone else. I just think of him. So there it is. Well, fun times. I think I'm in no rush to see it again, because I did see it like multiple times in high school at Shadowcast versions of it.
That should be enough. Has Kim ever seen it? Because that was the only thing that really drugged me back to wanting to see it for the Shadowcast, is that Tim or Tina hadn't seen it. So
I've never asked her, so I could ask. I doubt it. If I had to guess, I'm, you know, they're barely just getting unleaded gas where she's from. So, you know, I don't think they know what Rocky Horror Picture Show is in her tiny town, but it's possible.
Wow.
It's possible.
Oh, man, that's awesome. Well, I mean, experiencing it through her might be something.
That could be fun. Yeah.
You know what else I experienced this weekend, Scott?
What's that?
I experienced the joy that is Kellogg's Appalachian Sippin' Cream, better known as Eggonog.
That's
right. We
talked
about this on the show last week.
That's right. How is it?
And, well, I'll say this. The drink itself, really, really good. It's, I like it better than eggnog, to be honest. There's a decent amount of rum in it. Mm-hmm. It's 40 proof. So
it comes that way. I thought you had to add to it. I guess I'd,
no, it's okay. Got, it's got it in there. Here's what's horrible. And they play off this whole thing of like, oh, it's Appalachian sipping cream. So it has to come in a big old mason jar.
Mm.
You know what? You know what's really hard to do with a mason jar?
Mm.
Pour drinks cleanly.
Because
It just, you know, the liquid just wraps around the bottle lip and goes blah, 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 right down the side of it. And it's just such a freaking mess. Especially if you're doing like smaller glasses, shots. You just want to pour a little bit. There's no way to do it without it going down all over the countertop.
Do you think the Eggo Association is just kind of branding and nothing else? Or does it taste like an Eggo? Like, what? You know, they've gone all in on that.
It doesn't. It tastes. There's like a little bit of a cinnamony vanilla, more of that than you'd get in traditional eggnog. So maybe that's the, the direction. But this thing is. People are saying just pour drinks straight from the jar. I showed Scott, or did you? Are you putting up the photo that I sent you?
No, I'm putting up these some promo shots. Let me pull yours up real quick here.
Yeah, when you see that and you see the size of it in my hand. It's a big ass jar. That is.
Oh, geez. Yeah,
that's a fine amount of rum. I have no problem drinking that much rum, but I do have a problem with that much cream and sugar. That's the problem.
That'll get you. You want to spread that around a little bit. Here you go, chat. There's his photo. So there's Brian's. You know, Brian's got, you know, big man hands.
I got big hands. Yeah. Just
big hands. And look at that, sipping cream in Brian's hand. He's set for the holidays. How are you at home?
Good luck. It's already half gone because we took it to the crazy neighbor's house.
Oh, yeah, that was probably
gone. I recorded a video, and I probably should share it, but I feel really bad because I recorded a portrait.
Oh, you shouldn't feel bad. You're all right. You're just with the kids, man. It's what the kids do. It's what they're up to now.
Like we're like TikToking, basically. Yeah. Maybe that's the problem.
Yeah. Everybody's doing video on their phones. It's... you know, it's just the way of things. But yeah, you should share that. We were all being merry and, you know, dancing around or whatever.
We were sharing it. We were deciding that it could use more alcohol, so we put brandy in there. So it was brandy and rum in the eggnog. Awesome. And then everything just goes right off the rails.
Did Mrs. did Mrs. Crazy Neighbor dance to some yacht rock or anything?
She didn't. We didn't have any going. We should have put some on. I bet it would have happened.
That's a shame. That's a real shame.
Yeah.
All right. Well, moving from nog to cheese, I got an email follow up from a listener here that we're going to read.
Yeah, bring it on. Let's hear it.
Yeah, let's go for this here.
Send and receive email.
This is from John G., who says, "Hey, Scott and Brian, had to throw in my 2 cents on this debate." And our issue is American cheese. Not because I love American cheese. It is not great cheese, but I'd still eat it sometimes, like on some fast food burger. I don't object to someone not liking American cheese. What I object to is specifically you two looking down your nose at American cheese.
Oh, well.
I mean, I think all I ever said was I don't really like it. I think that's all I said.
Yeah,
is that looking down my nose?
Pretty hard on it. I don't know. We'd have to check the tape.
I guess
get a coach's review on that tape. But I think
it's like me saying, "Oh, I don't like that artichoke," and then someone saying, "Why do you look down your nose at artichokes?" It's like I just don't like artichokes.
I was probably the more snobbish of the two when it comes to American cheese. And it's, hey, we took regular cheese and added stuff to it just to make it melt better.
Yeah,
which I get. That's fine. That's totally
sure. Fine. I totally get it. He goes on to say all the fast food crap you guys eat all the time that's made from who knows what, and you draw the line at American cheese. I mean, right in the segment.
All the fast food crap. I mean, come on.
Says right in the segment, Brian is saying, ooh, gross American cheese. And 1 second later, he's talking about eating Oscar Mayer products, the chemical garbage can of meat substances.
Now, I will take offense to that because I described as a kid having Braunschweiger that was made by Oscar Mayer. And if I were, when I did buy Braunschweiger last week, I did not buy the Oscar Mayer brand. I got Deli Braunschweiger, as I recommend.
That's so, the kind you should get. Yeah.
So that one I will take issue with, but I completely stand behind the next paragraph. Yeah.
He says, you both talked lovingly about Taco Bell, which I think is literally just a landfill they turn into a fast food restaurant.
Wow.
Well,
no, landfills have more employees
and ingredients. They got more ingredients.
Landfills have a better, they're open more often.
Yeah. Than, you can actually get your order for whatever
exactly,
they're serving.
Yes.
He says, so, you know, people like what they like and eat whatever they eat, but I don't care what you guys put in your mouths, but come on. You get all use real cheese when you eat the way you do. Just silly. Love the show though, John. I mean, I kind of get it, but we're not going, ew, American cheese for the low-life freaking peasants. That's not what we're doing. We're not being all fancy about the cheese. We're just saying, yeah, we don't like it as much as like, you know, Pepper Jack or something. That's it.
Yeah, I may have been a little snobby. I think I might have been a little snobby about it and saying, American cheese, that's not even real cheese. Brr.
Yeah, I guess we did kind of throw it under the bus. Yeah. But
and I'll stand with you on the Oscar Mayer stuff, the chemical garbage pan of meat, the garbage can of meat substances.
You're not wrong about that at all. Also, we had some fun yesterday. I've been looking forward to this all week long, and we finally got to do it. We went and picked Van up at about 10 o'clock and took his little 3-year-old self up the canyon to a place called Silver Lake. It's about a 30-40 minute drive, kind of toward where Snowbird is, but you kind of offshoot to this lake. And it's really cool, especially in the summer and spring, because in the winter it's all covered in snow up there and it's frozen. But it's this like weird kind of stagnant lake, although it has fresh water coming to it from a couple of streams. But it's got just like crazy weird growth underneath. If you've seen my Twitter account, you saw some photos of this. And you walk around it, and there's like a, you know, man-made wooden, you know, plank sort of path around the entire thing. And we took him up there and had the best freaking day up in the freaking nature. It was great. Loved it. He had a blast. Everybody's having a good time. It was wonderful. However, I have this to say.
Okay.
And this is fine. This is not a problem. It's just I didn't expect it. Right when we got up there to go, it was kind of slow. There's not a lot of people up there. There's a few hikers and stuff. They had just unloaded a bus of about 30 Tibetan. They might have been monks. I'm not sure they were monks because they didn't quite look like Dalai Lama style monks with the kind of reddish robe stuff and all that. It wasn't quite that, but it was definitely kind of, I don't know, the way they were dressed. And I went, oh, this is going to be hard. There's a bunch of tourists. We're not going to be able to get through this. This is going to be the worst walking around the lake we ever took. And like, I'm being all grumpy about it. And instead, they turned out to be the most friendly freaking people I've ever met.
Oh, sure.
Like, I'm walking past some of my fellow Utah white folk, and they're just they're just irritated and won't say hello back or whatever. But these people were like, hello. Hello! Oh, yes! Hello! They just were so excited to see us. So I just wanted to say, cool. Whoever they were, whatever trip you were on, hats off to those people. You were so nice and made me wish everybody was as nice as you. So there's that.
That's cool. That's their whole philosophy, man.
Yeah, I guess so.
Is that positivity. If we've learned nothing else from the writings of John Lennon, it's a...
That's right. Didn't he? He went down there and got a beard and
that's right.
You know, took a bunch of peyote or something, and then
changed everything.
Changed everything. Yeah, went home, said, "Okay, Yoko Ono is going to break up this band, and my one kid from my other wife, I'm going to barely spend any time with him. But boy, howdy, I sure like this new kid." And that's how it went for him, didn't it?
That's right. Listen, I'll there are not a lot of things that I'll defend Yoko Ono on, but I think Paul is just as responsible for breaking up the Beatles as Yoko was.
I still need to see that documentary. I haven't watched it yet.
Oh, yeah. It's good. Watch out. Watch out, Scott. Make sure you're on the adult level of Disney Plus to watch it, because...
Oh, boy, howdy. Do we get wieners and stuff?
Mom couldn't find it because she didn't...
That's right. Yeah, you told me this, and it was... We, it didn't was we decide...
There's a couple F-bombs in the... in the documentary, and so it's not on the children friendly side of.
I keep thinking it's an Apple TV thing. Why do I think that? It's something else. It's Disney.
It's Disney Plus.
Yeah. Why did I think Apple had a Beatles thing?
Because Apple Records, Beatles, totally makes sense. Like, you connect the Apple and Beatles go together like American cheese and Braunschweiger, Scott.
Like, what's Get Back? That's the old Peter Jackson.
That's the no. Get no, Back this is the new Peter one. Jackson.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this is the new Jackson. One, and it's on Disney Plus.
It's hard to call it a documentary. I want to say it's a. It's 9 hours of Beatles home movies or something. It's the
way. Yeah. Oh, maybe I'm thinking of Beatles, How the Beatles Changed the World. That might be what I'm thinking of.
Oh, is that a newer thing?
No, it's older. Okay. But it's on Apple TV Plus, so I think that's why I'm thinking of that. Yeah. I don't know. Well, that's fun.
It's so good.
I'm going to watch that. I really, truly am.
It's a good, you know, for whatever reason, I always connect Beatles to Thanksgiving. It started way before I started doing the Beatles Coverville shows on Thanksgiving, but it's a good, it feels like a good Thanksgiving watch.
Yeah, worth your
play
time.
Play a game, you know, have it on, play games with the family, because you don't need to just sit there and focus all of your attention on the show.
Well, I am, I'm going to do that. Let's get into the Dunaway era of the show. He's ringing. Oh, he's answering. Okay. So that means this. You guys, look out. Hold the fort down. It's Brian Dunaway joining us. Hi, Brian.
Hold the fort. Oh, hi, Scott and Brian.
Hi. Hello. Hi, Brian. Hey, what are you doing? How are you doing there?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good. What is it, Monday?
Yeah,
I'm doing pretty good for Monday.
You doing all right? Okay, that makes me happy to hear that.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've been having a lot of fun this past week playing scary games like Splatterhouse, which we're going to talk about tomorrow night. But
cool.
I've been really into it.
Did it scare you to play it at all?
It's got a vibe.
Mm.
It's got a vibe. Mm. Does that make sense?
Yeah. No, I get it.
I wouldn't say it scares me. It's just got a cool vibe to it.
It's Jason Voorhees going through the haunted house killing monsters.
Mm-hmm. I'll tell you know what scared me is I was playing some Overwatch 2, and the game's not meant to be scary, but I got into this competitive match. I was playing competitive mode, which means you're going to get ranked and everything. And so, you know, you got some stuff on the line. You're trying to do your best. And I was healing in the back with the character Zenyatta, and out front, the rest of my team doing their business. And on the other team, they had an okay team, but their tank was Roadhog. Now, normally Roadhog's not that big of a deal. I can kind of deal with him. But this Roadhog existed only to hunt me down in the back line and destroy me. Now, remember, the game now only supports when you play a proper match, either a public match or a ranked match, it is role-based. So there's only one tank possible.
Oh.
There's two healers and two damage dealers. Totally different format now.
That's right.
And it's five players total instead of the old six. And so when you start the game, whoever is tank is he can switch tanks during the game, but he can't be any other role but tank.
He can't switch out of a tank role.
Exactly. Gotcha. And their role is much more like take a bunch of damage, guard your team, block, you know, this and that. Not this guy. His goal, the entire 45-minute run that we had with that team, his goal was to come seek me out and wreck me, and then and then do like the emote dances over my body. I'm not kidding.
Oh, no, really?
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
And we ended up winning because if he's doing that, he's not being a proper tank, and it was effing up his team. But he was on it, and it was actually scary because I'd be in a corner and I'd be like, oh, my gosh, Scott? I'm made of paper, and I'm running this way, and here comes a big old Roadhog coming down.
Game's what do you really what do you call it? Did he recognize your name? Maybe are you Frog Pants? Are you GURP?
I'm Frog Pants or GURP? Yeah, I am GURP. But I mean, he didn't say anything. He never chatted anything. So who knows? No idea.
Just
freaked
didn't
me
like
out.
The way you looked.
Yeah, it was something.
I found GURP. I was going to send you a text. I need to send this to you. There's a GURP in Colorado at the Peoria and Iliff. Let's see here. I don't know why I didn't think to send this to you. I was out driving. I was lifting. And
somebody named GURP?
At an intersection.
Do you even lift, bro?
Yeah, bro. There's a business, and I couldn't see because of a pole what was behind what the GURP stands for.
Oh, here it is.
Was the lady on the other side of the pole? Was that the problem?
No, yeah.
No, kind of the pole sign. It's, GURP. Let's see. Here we go. It's Aurora. City of Aurora General Employees Retirement Plan.
Oh. GURP. GURP. Look at that. General, you guys, right below the. Plan.
That's awesome. I love that. Yeah.
Also, re-elect Iman Joda for city council or whatever is going on there.
Boy, all this elect you do, Joda.
These midterm, these midterm signs that are everywhere. I'm getting tired of it.
Oh, everywhere.
Yeah, I've got it. I just need McMillan to beat Mike Lee, and I'm happy. I don't care about the rest. anyway, there you have it. Hey, Brian Dunaway, we're going to play a little game. Brian Ibbett here will explain what it is, who out there might win what, and all that. Brian, explain.
I'll explain. Welcome to the morning. Half Ass is a trivia game where I'm going to be giving Scott and Brian the answers. I'm going to give them a category and six possible answers. Three of those answers are correct and three that are just complete total horse hockey. Depending on how confident you feel with the category, you can provide one, two, or three guesses. But if you get any wrong, you get 0 points for that round. One right gets you a point, two right gets you 3 points, and three right gets you 5 points total. We're going to play three rounds. Player with the most points after those rounds wins the prize for their contestant. And I've pulled contestants from members of the Tadpool that couldn't be here for whatever reason. Scott, you're going to be playing for Dustin Ward in Arkansas City, Kansas.
Ooh. All right.
And Brian, you're playing for Andy Neeland in Simpsonville, South Carolina. How far is Simpsonville
from you? Oh, nice. Not very far at all. I love going to Simpsonville. They have a theater up there, and I'll probably be doing that this weekend or next weekend.
Like movie theater? What are you talking about? Like plays or what? What are you talking about?
THX Theater.
Oh, like a theater.
Cinema.
Gotcha.
The cinema, Scott.
What are you going to see? What are you planning on seeing in the theater?
Well, I'm hoping that I can see something scary. I haven't decided yet.
Oh, cool.
Oh, scary is good because Halloween's coming.
See, what's the name of that new one with the doll thing? Is that going to be out yet?
Oh, hold on.
The fake doll thing. You know what I'm talking about?
Wait a minute. No, what am I thinking of? There is something. Oh, is it? Is it just doll? Megan?
It's like an AI kind of thing. Smile. Megan?
I think it's Megan.
Yeah.
This is it's when's that coming out? It's spelled, you'd hate this, Brian. It's spelled M3GAN.
Wait a minute. Is it the third movie in the Megan series, or is it
for three?
This is not even coming out anytime soon. Jeez.
Yeah.
I got really excited last night. I saw a trailer. That's not until January.
Yeah,
there's a movie show called,
that kind of crap.
A movie coming out called Krat. Children are left to grandmas without smartphones. Real life seems boring until they find instructions for Krat, magical creature who will do whatever his master says. All they have to do now is buy a soul from the devil. So it is about the
Krat. You guys are wondering you ever wonder if you can just like call upon the devil and he'll like show up.
Yeah. Hi, I'd like to buy a soul. Do you do that through DoorDash?
Yeah, just Satan himself.
Or do you have to go meet him at the crossroads? Is it like that? Does he do house calls?
Yeah,
he might now. He might have to now. Like curbside pickup now with the pandemic is how he operates. He drops the soul off on your porch, rings the doorbell, and then waits in his car to make sure you come out and get him. And he waves
and he yells, "Until we meet again!" as he runs away. That's how he does
it. Right. Wait a minute, this soul's been opened.
This soul's been used. All right.
Let's get to the first question here. Oh, by the way, the prizes that Dustin and Andy can win: Police Stories, Evan's Remains for the winner, and the runner-up gets Star Wars Squadrons, very, very good game.
It is a very good game. Plays in VR quite well. Yeah, they're all good, but the VR
Adam is out.
Yes, the VR mode for that Star Wars game is excellent, better than you'd think.
Oh, cool. Yeah, all right.
Really good.
Very good. All right, let's get to this. Your first question, gentlemen. Let's go with the Muses. Not throwing Muses the band, but the actual Greek Muses. I want to know which of these are actual Greek Muses from Greek mythology. Your choices are Thalia or Talia, Urania, Circe, Erato, Salome, and Cassiopeia or Cassiopeia, depending on where you put the emphasis.
Erato.
Cassio. Keyboard Pia. Let's see. Pia. Three of these are correct, eh? Wow.
That's right.
Three of these answers are right.
Oh, we know you're never amused, Tally.
Yeah, never fully amused. All right, I'm locking in with two.
All right, let's see here. Both locked in. You went with, Brian, you went with Talia and Urania. Scott, you went with, and Cassiopeia. Scott, you went with Urania and Arato. Congratulations, Scott. You got two of the three.
Job.
Yeah, Talia, Urania, and Arato. Well done. You know your muses, apparently.
Only a couple. The rest of these looked sus.
I'm not amused.
Yeah, the Cassiopeia is a... Not this. I can't remember what it is.
It's a constellation, but it's a Greek... A Greek woman who was not a muse, nor a god.
There you go.
What was the third one we missed?
Salome?
Salome.
Oh, the one you...
The other one that's correct that I didn't do. Thalia. Okay.
Oh, Thalia, yes. Or right. Thalia.
There you go.
All right. Very good. Let's get to question number two.
Now the I 12... feel like a half-ass.
We'll make you full-ass.
The 12 tribes of Israel. Let's get to the 12 tribes of Israel. Your choices are Gideon, Issachar, Zebulun, Gad, Jacob, and Nebuchadnezzar. Which of these are the 12 tribes of Israel?
Pretty sure I know these.
I'm pretty sure I don't know none of these.
Let's see if all those years in Sunday school when I was a kid pay off. All right, okay. I'm locked.
Scott locked in. Brian still giving his answer.
I'm still guessing.
All right, it's fine.
Hey,
it's fine.
You keep guessing. You do you.
Okay.
Top upper right hand corner.
You both locked in with Gideon, Gad, and Jacob. Mm-hmm. Congratulations to both of you for not getting more than one right. Gad is the only one of those three.
Dang it!
That is That's one of the 12 tribes of Israel. Jacob is kind of a little misdirection there because Jacob was the father of the 12 tribes.
Right.
But not one of the tribes themselves.
Son of Abraham almost got killed. All right. Well,
we're going into the final round. Scott has three. Brian has zero. Let's see how you guys do with question number three. Something a little bit easier for you guys.
All right.
Flightless birds. Which of these birds can fly? Which one can't? Peacock, kiwi, hoopoe, cassowary, taka, and chicken. Three of those birds can fly. Three of them cannot.
Okay, but we're looking at the ones that can't.
You want to tell me the ones that cannot? Yes, I want to know the ones that cannot.
Celebrity Jeopardy.
Sorry, I said. Tell me the birds that cannot fly.
Here's a fun fact. Five of those taste like one of them. So think of that.
Technically six then.
Yeah, that's a good point. I don't freaking know. This is going to be rough because I think some of these are tricky.
Brian is
like,
Also, flight can be counted as like 20 yards, you know?
Right. Like what's just a prolonged jump?
Yeah. Because some of them.
My favorite was Ibbot goes, I'm going to throw you a softball now. And we both go, oh, no. I don't know what this is.
You know, it's birds. It's like it's nature. You guys are both locked in. Scott, you've locked in with cassowary and hoopoe. Brian, you've locked in with the peacock, the kiwi, and the chicken. I'm sorry to say, chickens can fly, Brian.
They can. That's true.
But so can hoopoes and peacocks.
Shit.
0 points for both of you.
I went with birds that I actually know are birds.
I don't even know what a taka is. I don't know if I've seen one. Cassowary.
I don't know what a hoopy is.
Like big goofy ostrich looking things in Australia. And of course we know what the kiwi looks like, shoe polish. So 3 points for Scott to win the game. Congratulations then going to Dustin.
Why don't chickens just leave?
Ooh, sweet. Look,
right? Like, you know, why don't they leave when you just put them in a little fenced area?
Yeah, what the heck?
Congratulations. You're a winner.
Here's the thing. I never see a peacock do anything but stand there or go,
Me too.
Yeah. Me too.
And so I don't blame you for picking that one. I almost did, but I was like, it's too easy.
Their tails, even the males' tails are so, I guess the males do have the big colorful tails, but like even the females' tails are big. You wouldn't think that they would be conducive to flight, but apparently they can.
Yeah, and chicken I wasn't entirely sure on, because I've seen chickens get pretty far. I just don't think they're like, they're not known for going miles.
Really, it's kind of a prolonged, it is kind of a prolonged jump for those, but apparently
that's what I was thinking.
Yeah. They don't have the brain for it, man. Counts as flight?
So stupid.
You ever seen a crow? Crows can mimic
jump off the roof and fly for a second.
Crows can take frozen stuff and like thaw it out to eat it. Crows are like these brilliant birds. Mm-hmm. Do they see a chicken and just go, what the, you stupid idiot chicken? Like, they probably are embarrassed by chickens. Yeah. Of all the birds, chickens, man. They suck.
Right, right.
But they're making me hungry. All
right. That's why we eat chicken and we rarely eat crow.
Yeah, don't eat crow. Try not to.
It's bad when you
avoid the crow.
Well, congratulations. That's awesome. You're both big winners, though, because that second one is an awesome game, and we're glad that you were all able to play with us. And tomorrow, we're going to be playing more. Hey, Brian Dunaway, tell me again what our topic is on Play Retro tomorrow.
We're going to play some Splatterhouse from the arcade to the Genesis, even that weird Wakufu, whatever it was with the NES that was only released in Japan. I'm going to talk a little bit about that as well.
Yep.
Kind of a cutesy version of Splatterhouse.
That's right.
Really? Yep. I've never even heard of that.
It's a very weird game, and it never came here, and it's probably okay that it didn't.
Ampaku Graffiti.
I don't think it was very good. But Splatterhouse, that's a special place in my heart, and it's Halloween, so why the hell not? Let's talk about Splatterhouse.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that'll be tomorrow. Check it out, 3:30 Mountain Time at Play Retro, frogfans.com/PlayRetro, where you can find all the details and the podcast. Dunaway, what'd you say? What were you going to say there? What are you doing?
I said Rick.
Oh.
No, you.
Rick. Why do you say Rick?
Was that Walking Dead reference? I don't know what. Why is he bringing Rick into this?
Yeah, what Rick is he referring to? And I hung up on him, so I can't find out.
I know.
You'll have to wait until Wednesday to see what the hell he's talking about, that guy. All right, we have a little bit of news and time to do it, so let's do it right now. It's time for the news, and it's brought to you by
The Whispering Order Taker at the Freddy's in Draper, Utah.
Yeah, what the frick? So we go to Freddy's after the Canyon. We're like, perfect, that sounds great. And it was good. Always. I like Freddy's. It's good.
Always good. Yeah.
But we go through the drive up, and this is what we get. We get up to the thing, goes, and I expect someone to go, hi, welcome to Freddy's. You want to try our burrito? I'll give it, take your, you know, like all that. Instead, it's this guy goes, hi, welcome to Freddy's.
No, really, like he's late night.
He's ASMR.
70s DJ.
Yeah, it was more like ASMR voice. It was like, is that a medium or large size? And it got to the point where we weren't even sure what he was saying half the time. Kind of like the quiet talker on Seinfeld.
Yeah.
And Jerry doesn't know he just committed to wearing a freaking puffy shirt.
Puffy shirt.
It was like that. So I was like, so with no cheese? And he's like, I'm like, I don't know if I got the right order. I have no idea. It worked out, but man, that guy's quiet.
Nobody got something that they weren't expecting.
Yeah, it's like, pull up to the second window.
My God.
Is everything okay in there? Anyway.
Yeah, no kidding. It's like, right. Call the police.
Call the police. I'm being held against my own will.
But then, you know, the gunman would be a little concerned, right? It would be, hi, welcome to Freddy's. Can I take your order? Call the police. I'm being held up.
Yeah, see, exactly. He would be giving it away unless he's hunkered down underneath the cupboard or something.
Oh, see, yeah.
Yeah.
There might be a little bit of a holdup on your order. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
But whatever you do, don't call the authorities on us if your meal is a little bit late.
Yeah, don't kill me if I'm...
We're a little under the gun here.
I love it. Well, anyway, here's your first story. California baker in the news. Mm-hmm. On a winter's day. California baker. Anyway, he created a life-size Han Solo out of bread. This is pretty cool.
Wow.
Yeah, you guys got to see
this. Oh, please tell me it's like carbonite Han Solo.
It is. If I can pull it up. Sorry, I'm not ready for this here. This is...
it is.
It is totally carbonite. Is.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, how awesome is this? Like, I'd be afraid to eat it. I just want to keep it forever.
No kidding.
But look at that
keep
thing.
It fresh. It's no good to me moldy.
Yeah. It's actually really like... It's got the little drippy carbonite veins from his lips and the whole thing. It's crazy.
It's impressive.
Han Solo may be a hunk, but Pan Solo is a hunk of bread. That's what they call him. Also, would you want to even bake it? Because it would expand and stuff. It'd get weird shaped. You want to keep it in dough form.
The photo on the site is not coming...
Oh, is it not coming up for you? Here, I'll send you I'll send you a screen grab.
Actually, I got, I'm able to, I'll go to the New York Times version. I can see the photo there.
Do you sub to them, by the way?
I do, because I, yeah, I do, because I like Wirecutter and the crossword and all that
stuff.
Oh,
I thought Wirecutter was fully available to everybody.
It's free. It's totally free, but if I want to go deep on any of the articles that it links to, then I, then gotcha. It says, you don't have access to this, blah.
Blah, I do hate that.
Yes.
That's how they get you.
It's totally how they get you.
Says that's what a bakery in San Francisco area do. They done have done. They've dubbed the 6 foot 1.8 meter bread sculpture of the Star Wars character as he appeared after being frozen in carbonite in The Empire Strikes Back. Hanley Pervin. That almost sounds like a Star Wars name, doesn't it?
It totally does. I'm gonna come up with a character for episode 2. It's a Gungan named Hanley Pervin.
Hanley Pervin. She'll be the love interest of Jar Jar Binks. And
anyway, this and her mother, Catherine Pervin, co-owners of One House Bakery in Benicia, California, spent weeks of molding, baking, and assembling the life-size sculpture in, using wood and two types of dough. Wait a minute. What's going on with the wood? I guess the wood is just the flat back there.
Support it, yeah.
Don't tell me there's wood in my bread.
It would fall over. And, you know, the one thing about this, the hands and the face come out and they look great, a little 3D, but then you get the chest and the pants are like a little flat.
Yeah. It's not perfect down there.
It's not perfect, but it is damn impressive.
It's pretty good. Said they got a little bit obsessed. They ended up having to use some kind of yeastless dough with a ton of sugar in it so it lasts longer. It holds its shape. Oh, sure.
Makes sense, yeah.
Says the two worked at night after the day's business was done. They crafted this thing and his anguished face and his hand stretching out. Hanley said she might have gotten a little obsessed. Mom made me leave it because I was obsessing over the lips. She was like, you need to walk away.
Walk away. Says, to beat you to it.
This was it was particularly meaningful because she told the paper she contracted COVID-19 in January 2021 and lost much of her sense of taste and smell. So I just find joy in a different part of food that is really important. The sculpture is now on display outside the bakery, located at a half hour's drive north of San Francisco.
I didn't mean to just send you the exact same article. Hold on, I'm going to delete that. Because what I meant to send you is this photo of another thing they did, which was a chair that they created for a game of scones.
Well, let's
and
see.
It's cool, but it's a little less impressive than the, it's like 25 baguettes zip tied to a wicker chair.
Yeah, that's really all it is. I love it though.
It is kind of cool, but it's
remember the keyboard one in the place in Vegas that we did the competition? They had a whole chair just made of keyboards and mice and
gamer shit.
That
the
was
throne
cool.
of games, basically.
Yeah, yeah. Throne of games.
I don't know if it was modeled after that one, but yeah.
Yeah, that was awesome. That was really cool. Also, I didn't know this. Okay, I'm gonna say a thing.
Okay,
last night we watched the penultimate episode of House of the Dragon.
Do I need to take my headphones off?
No, not at all. Okay. I am just going to say that this is that was one of the best hours of television I've seen all year.
Wow. Okay.
It was really? So good. Yeah. The finale I hope can even live up to the penultimate episode because it was extremely well done.
Gotcha. So this wasn't the finale episode. That's got to be coming up, right? Oh, next week.
Next week. Yep. Last one.
Okay.
For the season.
I guess that would mean penultimate. Yeah.
They've got a 4-season plan, they say, and this season went so well. I loved every second of this, so I'm very excited. But this second-to-last episode really, truly, some of the best TV I've seen in ages.
I love the fact that they've got a plan, right? That they've said, no, we're doing 4 seasons. We've written the story out so that we know it's going to take 4 seasons to tell. And we have all of these plot points that we're going to be hitting.
Yeah.
As opposed to, yeah, we know we've got a story. We don't know how it ends, but we're going to be working towards it. So have fun, everybody. Yeah.
Plus, they were like, I don't know, maybe plans in 2011 when you have a hit thing like that are different than they are today. I feel like maybe you've learned something from that. And either way, like, they just knocked it out of the park. I would say to anybody at home who's like, well, I really love Game of Thrones till they really wrapped it up too fast at the end and just crammed everything into, you know, 6 episodes or whatever.
Yeah.
I feel you. I felt the same way. This is not that.
This does not suffer from that
same
problem.
It has a lot of time jumps, but it feels right. Like, it feels like the way you want it to be. I won't give anything away on that, but there's, you know, they cover a chunk of time in this thing, and it's very good. Anyway,
I'm excited for it.
Definitely check it out.
We're three episodes into, or four episodes into, Midnight Club, and I'll be honest, I'm still enjoying it. I don't always agree with Randy. Often I do, but in this case, I disagree with him. I think it's a very different thing than Midnight Mass or Haunting of Hill House or the other one that Flanagan did. And I think, again, it's a tribute to the fact that he didn't write it. He's adapting somebody else.
Sure.
But I went in feeling like, you know, all right, this is going to be an anthology thing with a bunch of smaller stories wrapped in a bigger story. And so far, that's what I'm getting. And so far, I'm enjoying it.
It's good. And you're not the only one to tell me that. I keep hearing from a whole bunch of people. They really like it. So, Randy?
I've moved Catwoman.
You'll keep moving Catwoman.
Keep Catwoman on the move.
We are going to take a break. When we come back, we'll spend some time with Steven Schleicher. Okay?
I love that idea. I think it's a great idea.
It's like a doctor visit without, you know, with the nervousness or sitting in the waiting room too long or any of that.
Right.
He's a warm, sensitive man. And he's going to, you know, sit here with us, and we're going to feel comfort while he's here and all that. So I'm looking forward to that coming right up after this song that Brian will present.
Yes. I've got one here from a band. I love the name of this band, Tedious and Brief.
Oh.
Which is, what I think of some pop music these days. But this isn't pop. This is very indie, hook-heavy indie rock. This is their first original single that they've released in over a year. The single is called Tired Work, which is a proverbial, as they put it, a proverbial middle finger to those people and anyone in a position of authority like them who use their power to abuse, threaten, and belittle the people they've deemed below them. Take that.
Yeah.
Here is Tedious and Brief and Tired Work.
Says he's the man, he got what I need. Work all day, keep him on his feet. This is tired work. This is tired work. I put in the hours. You already know it ain't enough to keep you off the floor. This is tired work. This is tired work. Hear your puff from draining me dry. Drain that tremble when you gave me those eyes. Tossing in sweat, you're sleeping on silk. That's you, running off your pretty mouth with no.
Lose.
Hey, everybody. Me and Brian here to talk to you about Factor. Yes, that's right. Factor. Fall's finally here, Brian. And with a new season comes a new routine. But if you're like me, you get sick of the same old day after day. I can't have Dogritos until I'm dead. I can't be doing that.
That's right. I can't do pumpkin spice this and pumpkin spice that every day.
Not every day. So we're lucky that Factor exists. They've got ready-to-eat meal deliveries made in very easy ways to switch things up with 30-plus meal choices per week, 36-plus weekly add-ons, and an option to add protein to select vegan plus vegan meals each or veggie meals each week. That's how they do it. So let's talk about it. In particular, I really focused on the chicken dishes when I got mine.
Sure.
And I really like the Greek lemon chicken. Fan-freaking-tastic. I could eat that every day. I mean, I'll shake things up and not do that, but I thought it was great. Did you have one that grabbed you?
I did the stuffed pepper casserole with roasted green beans. And green beans are one of those things that, you know, don't always work when they're frozen and reheated for whatever reason. Whatever they're doing, you know, getting non-processed green beans totally works. But the stuffed pepper casserole with the rice and the sauce, oh my God, it's so good.
Mine even had a little like dessert, had like a little hot what do you call that, peach cobbler type thing in the corner. Ooh. I didn't expect that, and
that's like an old Stouffer's oven meal, whatever.
Yeah, it tasted good. It was actually good. So anyway, it's really good. But Brian, am I gonna spend through all my wallets to buy one of these things? Like, what's it cost?
You're not. No, it's so cheap, and their rotating menu has tons of fall options every week too. So you can add your seasonal favorites like three bean vegan chili, the apple mustard pork chop, and even Tuscan tomato chicken into your rotation just to spice things up.
Ooh, yeah, and it is cheaper than takeout. Seriously, thanks to their commitment to ingredients and integrity, you can actually feel good about what you're eating every day and not pay through the roof to do it.
And if you're doing one of those diets, I'm not going to call them weird diets, but come on, to me they're weird. They have endless options however you like to eat. So if you're doing the keto thing, you're doing calorie smart, you're doing just vegan and veggie, protein plus, to get chef crafted dietitian approved recipes that you're going to look forward to every single time.
Here's the easy thing to do, and all you have to do: head over to go.factor75.com/TMS60 and then use the code TMS60 to get 60%. Yeah, you heard me right. 60% off your first box. That code again is TMS60 at go.factor75.com/TMS60 to get 60% off your first box.
You remind them what you're going to show them, and then you go boom, like you're saying, take a look at this hunk of man. Something like that, okay?
I've had the nervous poops all week.
This is The Morning Stream, exercising demons since 2012.
We started the show in 2011, but we didn't start wiping out demons till the next year.
We had to work up to that.
You got
to
work up to it. Brian, who is that performer and song again?
Oh, I'll happily tell you. That was Tedious and Brief and their brand new single, Tired Work.
Nice.
Yes. Yes.
All right, Steven, incoming. I can tell. I can hear it. I can feel it.
Yeah.
I know it in my heart of hearts.
Steven Schleicher. Steven Schleicher.
Look, it is, everybody. Steven Schleicher, all the way from Majorspoilers.com in Hayes, Kansas, where he tracks all the coolest and latest information about comic books, movies, pop culture, and more. Steven, welcome back to the show.
Hello, Scott. Hello, Brian.
Hey,
hello.
Man. It's good to hear from you, as always. How are things? Are you gearing up for, kids getting all Halloweened up and all that?
I guess my kids are too old for Halloween now.
Oh, come on
they,
now.
They don't. Just take out the pillowcase and just see how much candy they can get into it.
I know the youngest has zero intention of doing any Halloween. The oldest, since he's a sophomore in high school, might.
Yeah.
But he's also surly and doesn't like to do anything that might embarrass him.
Oh, yeah. I get that. That's interesting. Sure. The younger one's what, 12? 11? 12?
11, yeah.
11. I think he should still be rocking it. He doesn't like it anymore, huh? Not into it.
No. No. He realizes that if he wants candy, we can just walk down the aisle at Walmart, and he goes, hey, there's a bag of M&Ms. Can you buy those, Mom?
That is a practical kid right there.
Yeah. Just go right, you know, cut out the middle man.
He doesn't have to do any song and dance or anything. He just is like, hey, Mom, Dad, buy me some candy.
Oh, that reminds me.
You don't get variety. You just get one kind.
That reminds me. We were driving up to Silver Lake yesterday, and they have like a store there, a trading post type small store. You can buy a bunch of snacks or, you know, whatever. And this kid in front of us goes, can I poo here? Do I have to buy something? And the lady goes, well, I mean, we'd love it if you bought something, but you can use the bathroom if you need to. And he's like, okay. And he just went and used the bathroom and left. Some teenage kid.
Can I poo here?
Can I poo here? Do I need to buy something?
That's what I say when I'm out lifting. It's like I walk into a Starbucks. Like, can I poo here? Do I have to buy something?
Exactly. Well, Stephen, good to have you here as always. Let's get into a few things. We're all pinball fans here, I think, in this group. Zen Pinball, known for their video game adaptations of pinball machines, as well as some of their own designs, have added two new free Star Wars tables to Apple Arcade.
Ooh.
Yeah. Are we excited about this?
To be honest, I don't know. Is anybody playing Apple Arcade?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, we still are. Yeah,
I like it. Right. I like it. It's a good value.
Because it's like, I'm like, oh, Zen Pinball, they got two new Star Wars tables, and it's already two previously released Star Wars tables. One's Boba Fett, and the other one is Rise of Skywalker, I believe.
Yes.
And
Force Awakens.
And of course, Force Awakens, So if you've already got the Zen Pinball system on your PlayStation, or you've got, you know, a fancy system like Brian does.
Yes, if you've got a 1-Up arcade machine from Zen Studios that you've already... Yep. Hacked and loaded all the pinball tables on. Yeah.
How easy was that? Because I've got the Marvel one and I'm like, do I want to go through the trouble of hacking it like I did the other 1-Up machine or not?
It was very easy. Yeah. That's the same thing. I've got the Marvel one. It's really just a matter of opening up the front, getting to that USB thing inside, flipping a switch, hooking up your laptop to it, downloading some software rebooting it basically. And
these Zen tables are cool though. I like their stuff, and just on the Apple Arcade side of things, they've made it really kind of simple to have, because if you do like their Apple One thing and you got like a family plan for music and what's the other stuff that comes with it, whatever it is,
fitness, storage,
a bunch of crap together, and so they've bundled it, and so it's like a no-brainer. It's just like, well, just get it as part of it, and the games have been pretty good. Like, as far as look, mobile gaming, you say what you want about it. It's not my favorite place to game either, but it's of all the services that's an alternative to free to play garbage. Mm-hmm. I like this the most because no ads. They're real video games. They have to work with controllers. They have to sync to your Mac. They have these rules about them. That have to be there.
Buying saving. Gems to complete tasks.
Yeah, none of that crap. And I like that. So for what it is, it's pretty good. That's out there now. Yeah,
go get those. They're free. Go get them. And I always love the cool, you know, 3D effects that they build into the into their tables and the animations and stuff.
Like
and,
little miniature figures of characters on the tables helping you kick your ball around and stuff.
It's the Force Awakens one is awesome because it's like out in the Tatooine desert. Or not Tatooine. Mm-hmm. What's her planet? Kakarak or Kazookak or
something like that.
Pack rat, whatever it is.
Can you tell how sad it's like how much we didn't care about those? Oh, Jakku.
Jakku
is that guy from My Hero Academia.
Yeah. I actually really like that anime. Have you seen the chainsaw one, Steven, that just came out?
Haven't. I asked my youngest, we were sitting at the table the other day. It's like, so this Chainsaw Man anime. He's like, yeah. Is it, have you seen it? He's like, yep. And it's like, it just came out and he's already been through all the stuff.
Did he like it?
I think so. He was just like, it's all right. But then again, you can never tell with that kid.
He might be thrilled, but you wouldn't hear it. You wouldn't know.
Yeah. He keeps a very low profile unless he's angry at something. Then watch out.
Sure. I'm trying to see if there was like there's only one episode out, I guess. Two. They're doing them one by one, and there's no dubs, only subs at the moment. And it's
go out and look for somebody has created a little Chainsaw Man Lego figure is pretty cool.
Really? Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
I like that his chainsaws Well, he's got one right on his head, you know, like his nose. His nose is a giant chainsaw. It's fantastic. I kind of want to watch it. We'll see. Anyway, let's move on to this.
Question Marvel, for Brian. I was going to talk about this last week.
Yeah, Marvel Snap thing on the 18th.
Yeah, that's tomorrow. Everybody. Woo-hoo! Marvel Snap.
That's exciting.
So what do we need to know, Brian? Because I'm guessing that you have a new YouTube channel ready to launch where it's like, here's all the tricks, here's all the tips, here's everything
you need
to know.
Smart, I would have done this already. I don't know why I haven't, but yeah, I should, you know, Scott, if you want to do, or somebody, if we want to do like a Twitch shared stream where I can share my screen and teach everybody the everything they need to know about Marvel Snap. I feel like if we put that on YouTube or even break it up into smaller videos, so many people are going to be checking it out because they're going to download the game. And there's a lot of stuff that's obvious, but there's a lot of stuff that's not obvious that will help you with the game. It's not required knowledge, but yeah, it's a card game designed by Ben Brode, formerly of Blizzard, the guy who came up with Hearthstone. And the big difference between Hearthstone and Marvel Snap is it's a quicker game to play. It's like a 3-minute, each round is 3 minutes maximum, because mm-hmm. You're only playing 6 rounds usually. And you've got locations, as opposed to playing all your cards just all over the board, wherever you want. You've got 3 locations you play cards in. You can play up to 4 cards in a location. And the winner of each location gets their points added together. And if you win 2 of the 3 locations, you're the winner of that game.
Gotcha. Okay.
And there's so much depth to it because you've got all these cards, but then these locations throw this extra wrinkle into it that makes every game feel like it's a different, you have to employ a different strategy. Even if you've got the killer deck, there are locations that can either break it or hinder it or even emphasize it or help support it. So,
is this on all iOS devices or is this only on Apple devices?
No, it's on everything.
It's on
Android, iOS. Tomorrow it's on everything, right?
Yeah.
So when you say all iOS devices, like desktop, iPad, phone, or just phone and iPad?
Just phone and iPad. No. So iOS, yes. Mac OS, no. Although, who knows? It might be one of those apps that you can sideload onto.
The M1s will do it. I think
the M1s will do it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I wonder if you'll be available to do it. They are working. They're doing a PC version and they're working on a horizontal mode for the PC version for streamers, which is great.
Yeah.
Nice. Not on Steam though, right?
Not on Steam. It might be.
Oh, well,
I mean, why wouldn't it be?
That's true. I guess I don't know.
They have nowhere else to distribute it, I don't think, unless they want to do only direct, but that'd be weird. I'm sure it would be on Steam.
Really weird. I mean, it's Google Play and Apple Store or iOS Store, but I don't see why they wouldn't do Steam. Yeah, it makes total sense.
Yeah, probably Steam.
I'm
probably
very excited about this game because, Brian, you have been hyping this up for 6 months now, something like that.
It feels like it's been forever. And the card artwork, you know, I've got to collect variants and all these different versions of cards, but I've been trying to collect all the Scotty Young versions of all the cards. Okay. Cause I'm a huge fan of his style.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That is one thing that are games like, Smash Up. And what's the other one? That's the big, deck building shuffle game from, is it Fantasy Flight? I forget what the name of that one is, but the problem is that all the cards are different because they are just licensing art from the comic pages. Right. And so you can't really get a consistent look or feel through all the cards. So at least this one, they're like, hey, here's a Scotty Young line or here is this artist.
Right.
Line.
And they're still, I'm sure they're taken from existing sources. I don't think that these are brand new pieces of Scotty Young art, but they're not. It isn't like, oh, yeah, we took this cover from a comic and just took the word balloons out or took this page, this panel from a comic and took the word balloons out.
Yeah,
and there might be some of this stuff that's actually made for this game by those artists.
And those will probably end up being like their legendaries and stuff, I had to guess, you know.
I think so. You can definitely play this. You can definitely be free to play with this thing. You do not need
free
to pay for anything.
In-app purchases.
Right. Yeah. It does have in-app purchases. You can, as with everything, you can buy gold. You can't buy packs of cards. You have to earn the cards, which is a great equalizer, basically. And to earn cards, you have to play the game and then boost your existing cards. And there's like a ladder thing.
Yeah.
But it's
I can't wait for this.
It's free to play, and it's I wouldn't say it's pay to win. You know, there are cards in higher levels in what they call pools, pool three, that are nice to have, but no card is a guaranteed win Black Lotus kind of situation.
Yeah.
So I guess the other question then, Brian, is do you have to start over at zero tomorrow, or?
Thank goodness no, because I'll show my card collection here on screen, but it is, I basically have every card in the game through playing from, you know, for 6 months, whatever.
Yeah.
Wait, aren't you logged in a different country though, or something, or where?
I am, but it's logged into my Marvel account, which is my American Marvel account. I just had to download the game from Philippines.
Got it.
Because that was the other thing. I was like, oh man, Brian's going to have to start over from zero when he gets onto the American server.
I might cry if I had to do that, but.
But you'd do it, right?
I would do it. I'd happily do it.
Yeah.
So, no, this is a blast. And yeah, like I said, we need to do a little live stream kind of thing. If nothing else, maybe I'll just record some video explaining the game, and then you and I can talk about it on the show tomorrow when it goes live.
Sure. Yep, I can't wait for it either. I want to play it.
Yeah,
it's the only.
And they're introducing the ability to play against your friends, so we can actually have Frog Pants matches, which would be great.
A little tournament, maybe.
Exactly. Mush Potatoes asked, so if I couldn't get into the beta, I'm going to get owned by people that were in the beta. No, like I said, no card is an automatic win situation, and and it does ranking games, so you're going to play against people who are also brand new, who have the base set of cards, and there's great cards in the base set. So,
yeah, but you could fight. But if they went like up against Brian, Brian would probably beat him. Is what'll happen, right? Because you're
not necessarily there are cards in pool number one that can break one of the deck that I considered be the one I play about 75% of the time. If you have like two cards, it's like, crap, I can't use a third of my deck because that card breaks it.
That makes it sound like it's more random based or luck based and less skill based. Is that, would you say that's true?
It's a combination of the two. The luck based comes in with the locations because those are randomly chosen at the start of every game.
Right.
The skill based is knowing how to play your cards and knowing, all right, even if this card comes up, I can use it in this situation or this other situation. And the deck I'm playing is a Lockjaw Jubilee deck. So what Lockjaw does, I'll just, you know, really quickly describe this. If you play Lockjaw in one of your locations, then any card you play in that location will disappear and a new card will take its place. Lockjaw will teleport that card out and teleport another card from your deck. So it's a really good way to, if you've got a lot of high cards in your deck, it has a random chance of pulling one of those high cards. But let's say on the random deal, all your high cards come out at the start. You don't have enough mana to play any of them. So you throw Lockjaw out there and it's like, okay, I guess I'll throw, you know, little cheapo cards in there and hope I get something decent from there. So
interesting. All right. Yeah. I'm looking forward to playing that game. Finally get your hands on
too.
It.
I'll be here for anybody who wants to talk about it and who wants to get some tips and suggestions and things like that.
It's the Marvel Snap Virgin Hotline. Brian, 1-800 Brian.
I'll put a big V on your forehead and we'll have a blast. It'll be a great time for all.
It'll be great. Steven, finally, the She-Hulk thing and the Ring of Powers thing, they both ended their season.
Yep.
Yeah.
We don't have to get into story points here, but how does everyone feel about how things... I've still not watched either of these shows, so I'm, you know...
I really enjoyed She-Hulk just because of how... I think... So here's the thing. If you watch all of She-Hulk together, knowing that it's a commentary from the very first episode, a commentary on the Marvel Cinematic Universe and Marvel Cinematic fandom, then this is a fantastic dissertation on what is messed up with both fandom and the Marvel Cinematic Universe. I mean, it has no problem just saying, yeah, you guys who love, Cinematic Universe, that's great. But look how messed up the Cinematic Universe is. It's not just the last episode that does this. It's like, if you take everything from the beginning of She-Hulk, it is this great essay on itself.
So would you say
rabid fan base and Twitter folks? And,
would you classify the entire thing as more satirical than overall?
It's totally satirical. It is the straight up Byrne comic book from top to bottom.
Okay. It is, and it's great to have this kind of be a location where we can have something like this, right? It's how What If used to be back in the day when it was a comic book. It was like this place for writers to just really go nuts and explore other ideas without saying, in this special issue of Spider-Man, he joins the Fantastic Four and the, Human Torch never existed or something like that.
Right.
And She-Hulk gives Marvel this place to have its super comedic stuff without saying, all right, we need to throw some slapstick into Ant-Man, or we need to throw this, this satire thing into Hawkeye. They don't have to do it.
Yeah. Daredevil makes an appearance, Scott, and his two appearances in the show are great and awesome.
I heard about that. Yeah. Somebody told me his suit's different. Is that true? Than it was in the
Yeah, it's red and yellow.
Oh. It's the mustard, ketchup and mustard suit.
Ooh. Well, they decided to go that way, did they?
Well, I mean, he has to get a new suit.
It's fine.
And there's an in-show explanation of where the suit comes from.
I liked his black ninja-looking early thing he wore in that series on Netflix.
Yeah,
that,
me too.
That was cool. I'm not saying that should have been the thing forever, but I liked it. It was a good time. Yeah. Well, all right.
Rings of Power.
Really?
I liked it well enough.
Yeah.
Rings of Power. Sorry. Okay. Yeah.
I started to watch the first episode the week that it came out, and I was like 5 minutes into it, and I was like, nah, this isn't for me. Mm. And I waited 3 weeks, and then I watched like two or three episodes back to back.
Yeah.
And it was like, okay, I'll stick through this because there's questions on who the Stranger is and who really is Sauron and all this stuff.
Yeah.
And then you hit episode six. Episode six is the best episode in the entire series. Mm. And then after that's over, you're like, okay, well, now what? And I thought they did a pretty good job with the material that they're using and how they're adapting it. It's not a Game of Thrones, I don't think. It's definitely not Peter Jackson's trilogy, but it's its own thing. I sit there and I watched every episode, and I liked how it ended. It's fine. I'll be back for season two. But I can't see how $1 billion was spent on that series.
Is that what the total price was?
That's what they're talking about, is how they spent $1 billion on this series, and I just do not see it on the screen.
It seems like a lot. Like the entire – that's funny you bring that up, because I was just looking at the House of the Dragon, at what they paid for that. The entire season, $200 million, which seems low by some standards. But I never once in that show went, oh, I can tell they're cutting corners here. Like it is beautifully shot, incredible set design. They're using some version of what Marvel Disney used, or Marvel Lucasfilm used for Mandalorian, the projection cave stuff. They use some of that to kind of dress up some of the sets and scenery and stuff like that in some brand new set in Europe somewhere, or in the UK. This is like the first time it's being used or whatever. But $200 million, so about $20 million per episode. That doesn't seem crazy for what it is, but $1 billion. For the same.
Yeah, so here's the breakdown. So it's like they had to get the rights, they had to spend $250 million just for the rights to Silmarillion.
Yeah.
And then they had to make a commitment with the Tolkien estate that said that they would do 5 seasons. This first season cost them $465 million. Divide that by, 8? And that'll tell you how much they spent per episode. I still just don't see it on the screen.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. You'd think you would for that kind of dough.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Is that all Bezos' personal cash or what? What the heck, where are they getting all that? Maybe not. Like he's spending a dime himself.
See, the reason why he's a billionaire is because he doesn't spend his own money. He spends other people's money.
That's a good point. Yeah. Somebody reminded me yesterday. I did some horrible math last night because I was tired. I shouldn't have done it. But basically, I had done this math where I'm like, if you had $250 billion and you divided it up amongst the 8 billion people on the planet, they would have $31 million each. And I went, no, I've done those decimals are wrong. Let's move this shit around. It was they would all have $31 if you did that, right? Do I have that right? Oops. I think that's right. 250 billion divided by 8 billion is 31 point something or whatever it is. So I think it's $31.25.
That's why we have calculators on our phones.
$31.25.
Yeah, but billions don't work on my calculator. It doesn't go far.
Right.
Pisses me off. Damn thing. Anyway,
you know, that's enough to go to $31.25
per person. I had it as $31 million per person. And I was like, well, that would solve everything and actually make us question money for the first time. We'd actually go, what even is money? Why do we care about it so much? And then someone said, yeah, Scott, your math's bad. And I'm like, wait a minute, let me do this again. Yeah, there's too many zeros in the wrong place. Nice job, Scott. Anyway, hey, there you go. Rings of Power, you'd give it a what? Let's give it a grade.
A grade, sure, because midterms are due today and I'm just at that point. So I give this a solid C.
Wow. A solid
right
C.
Right in the middle of the road.
You're describing my high school experience. Nice job. Did you, speaking of that, you got any students that you're like, man, this kid going all the way, going to blow our minds. The world's going to change.
There's some really creative students. Unfortunately, in the fall semester, generally, I'm dealing with mostly freshmen. But yeah, there's a lot of potential. It's just getting them to understand that, hey, there are things called deadlines. And there are instructions that you have to follow when you're doing a job with somebody. And that's the thing that they're learning right now.
Yeah. You know,
if I don't follow instructions and turn homework in on time, I'm not going to pass this class. No, you're not.
They got old Professor Schleicher up there giving them what for. I love it. Nothing wrong with that. All right. Speaking of you and yours, you've got all kinds of stuff happening on majorspoilers.com. Do you want to tell folks about it?
This week it's Major Spoilers podcast number 999, which means the week after that is 1000. And I heard we might be able to get Scott Johnson back for episode 1000.
Yeah, I am coming on for that one. I'm excited. I can't believe that's a huge landmark for you guys. That's awesome.
I know, right? Especially for a weekly show, right?
So yeah. I was going to say, that might be up there with the most ever. Brian, where are you at with Coverville?
1,417.
Okay, so you still have a bit to go.
You guys are way ahead of us, yeah.
Yeah. You only have 400.
That's okay.
You only have 400 months left. That math's wrong, too. Just keep giving you bad math.
Keep in mind, I'll be doing 400.
Yeah, that's true. You'll keep going. You're going to have to double
Brian out of commission for 400 months. So.
Sure.
Or 400 weeks, yeah.
Yeah. So the other thing is, of course, we had our first freeze last night and we'll have another freeze tonight and the weather's going to get dry and all that stuff. Even though it's not hot, it's dry. The dryness you have to watch out for.
Yeah.
And that's why you should still stay hydrated.
Yeah. I'm having unusual dryness as well. And I need to take care of some. But look, we got a big look at this thing of water right here. I got a whole thing of it.
Oh, very good.
I'm staying nice. But I'm telling you, I'm waking up at like 3 o'clock in the morning feeling like I haven't drank all day.
Oh,
something changing in the air. It's getting cold. It's supposed to be down to 30 something here next couple of nights. Oof, we're there, man. We're there. All right. Thank you, Steven. Quick email from Frank Whirl. It goes by Whirly Bird in the chat. Dear Slots and Baccarat, I came across this video shot in the 70s showing the Vegas Strip with all the wonderful signs of the casinos. I thought you might enjoy seeing this blast from the past since you guys are always talking about Vegas. Love the show. I thought you might like this. So this is...
I love it.
Let me turn off audio. This is some...
Was that Andrew Allen music playing?
It sounded like it, didn't it? It's basically just like old stock footage and it's really old stuff. Like there's the Aladdin's first thing you see and... Trying to see what's the
if they've got the landmark in there. It's I've seen videos of people driving down the strip, this is cool. You get the dunes.
Mm-hmm. Aladdin. I'm trying to see if they have
they do the like star filter on the view down the strip. When the word motel was just as big as the sign for the Frontier and the Aladdin and the Stardust. Yeah. Jeez.
Oh, there's the flamingo. That's always
Alan
funny.
King and Lola Falana in the Copa Room.
Yeah. I'm trying to find how cheap food is. Oh, there we go.
Alan King, we just saw in Creepshow.
No. I'm trying to find buffets for like a dollar or whatever they
Cat's Eye. That's it.
Yeah. I don't see any food prices. Darn it.
No, I'm not seeing that either. You'd think that like shrimp cocktail, just $1.99.
Here we go. There it is. Late show, 12:50. Whoops, go back. They moved this camera so freaking fast.
Lots of fun.
Here we go. One more. There we go. Top of the Strip, Dinner and Dancing with Bob Anderson, the Celebrity Four, and the Celebrity Four. Let's see. Dinner and a show from $15.
Wow.
Yeah.
Not seeing those prices anymore.
Adults Only, Casino de Paris, starring Freddie Sales. Who are these people?
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, these are the old days, man.
It showed the Slots of Fun. Yeah. Which I think changed from being Slots of Fun to being Slots of Fun.
Oh.
Is that like table games, 25-cent craps, 50-cent black, 50-cent blackjack.
Oh, this is great.
You're not winning a whole hell of a lot with 25-cent craps, but...
Everything was so much cheaper. Oh, look at Circus Circus. This would have been, like, new then.
Weird. Yeah.
Well, anyway, that's a lot of fun. Oh, the Hilton. They got the Osmonds, Liberace.
You know, the Hilton had the Osmonds fairly recently.
Yeah.
Like, in the last 20 years.
I think this was the actual... the boy band Osmonds. Osmond Brothers, God, right?
I can't read... can't read the Slots of Fun. There's a little blurry, but
this is so good.
Italia Pizzeria Steamer Flan Bag. No, what is it? Steamer
Flan Bag. Another Star Wars name.
Steamer Flan Bag. you tell me what you think this says.
Anne Margaret. Ooh, she's a hottie. Let's see what you got. Put it in the thing.
Did they put in the hyphen in her name?
They did. Anne Dash Margaret.
Good, good.
Is that the way? That's the way of it?
Yeah. All right, oh. So Italia, pizzeria, top right.
Yeah.
Underneath that, it looks like it says Steamer Flan Bag.
Oh, it does kind of read like Steamer Flan Bag.
Steamer
okay.
Clam. Oh, Steamer Clam Bag.
Oh, you get a bag of steamed clams.
Of steamer clams, yeah. All right, that's good. Complete
okay.
Dinners, Gilded Lace, Pizzeria, and Auction. Nope. I wonder, I'd love to know.
What's the Hacienda? Is the Hacienda still there?
It was a while ago, yeah. Oh, steamed clam bag. There we go. And it cleared up a little bit.
Steamed clam bag. That makes sense.
Hacienda was up there by the Sahara at that end of the strip.
The only one that I feel like is still here is the little bit of Caesars and the Flamingo. Everything else is gone.
Yeah,
that they're
yeah.
showing off like
a circus, circus.
Yeah. Circus, circus. Yeah.
Free circus acts. Rooms available. If not, we'll place you. I guess somewhere else. It just says, if not, we'll place you.
That's great. Oh, and this is an amazing channel. I gotta subscribe to this. It's all like old B roll and weird, newsreel. I love this kind of stuff.
That's cool.
I'm subbing. To Periscope Film on YouTube, everybody.
God, I wonder if the Landmark is in here, that spaceship hotel that they demolished in
Mars Attacks. Mars Attacks, right.
Yeah. Tony Bennett sings Joey Heatherton.
Why can't Tony Bennett sing Tony Bennett?
Right. Do you think he just gets us up on stage and goes, Joey Heatherton, Joey Heatherton, Joey Heatherton. Thanks, everybody. See you next week.
I would love that. You're speaking my language. All right. Thanks for the email, Frank. We appreciate it. TheMorningStream@gmail.com. That's TheMorningStream@gmail.com. I would like to thank Teddy Shields and Atomics, or we'll just call him Adam because that's his real name. They signed up on our Patreon at patreon.com/TMS. Teddy and Adam, thank you for joining. And if you'd like to be like Teddy and Adam, and why wouldn't you want to be like them? Join up today at patreon.com/TMS. Many reasons to do it and none not to. That's frogpants right. or patreon.com/TMS. Frogpants.com/TMS for everything else. We're now done, but we aren't really done until I hear music. So what do you got
there? There's nothing like the TMS Patreon. Mm-hmm. Nothing like it.
Nothing like it.
Galen wrote in and said, greetings, sauerkraut and brats. My birthday is October 17th, which will be my 47th. It also happens to be 2 years and 1 day since I first called into the show. I know a number of people have their favorite songs or artists, but two of my three favorite songs are sung by the Muppets, Rainbow Connection by Kermit. And strangely enough, Big Bird Sings the Alphabet, which I can remember my mom playing for me when I was 5 years old for my birthday. I'm not asking for either song to be covered, but anything Muppet related would be fine. If not that, I leave it in Brian's capable hands. Thank you for all your hard work and enjoyment you give to everyone. Signed, Galen.
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday, man.
Yeah, see, said it better than I could have said it myself. You know, you may be open to me playing something else by the Muppets, but I'm going to go with Rainbow Connection because I just love that song, and because both Scott Fletcher and Chuck Robinson both do great versions of Rainbow Connection. I've got another person who will blow your mind with how good they are at singing like Kermit. Ryan Shoup and the Rubber Band put this one on their live album from 2008. Here
Utah Connection, by the way, huge. They came from here, those guys. That's great. Sorry. My daughter used to, Carter, I don't know if Carter's in the chat, but she used to be obsessed with Ryan Shoup and the Rubber Band. And anytime they played locally, she'd go to their concerts.
That's so cool. Yeah, we covered them on Soundography, Hammond and I.
Oh,
and,
nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
This might have even been one of my picks for my playlist. Here is the aforementioned Ryan Shoup and the Rubber Band and Rainbow Connection.
All right, that's going to do it for us. Thank you all for listening. We'll be back tomorrow with another TMS. We'll see you then.
Why are there so many songs about rainbows? What's on the other side? Rainbows are visions and only illusions. Rainbows have nothing to hide. What's so amazing that keeps us stargazing? And what do we think we might see? Someday we'll find it, the Rainbow Connection, the lovers, the dreamers, and me.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
Now you know why.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.